It is Way of the Warrior, episode 290. Eric and Ken, we will jump right into it. It is your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkren and Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And before we start today, I feel we need to start with an apology because for the first time, I think, in 6 years that we've actually done this, where we thought an event was last week that is this week, which is the first time.
I was super excited about the weekend of events. I've still got my DVR rolling. I just figured Spike TV forgot to run something or...
and then they forgot
or Fox UFC Sports, forgot.
They just forgot to show up. So
What do they want to download if they missed it last week?
If you want the preview of last week's version of Josh Barnett and Roy Nelson, you can get that from last week when we thought it was Saturday. Now it's actually Saturday, so we'll talk about that. But of course,
we'll edit in the stuff we said.
We'll morph in what we said last week.
We'll use computers.
It'll seem like we're all on top of it. So apologies to you guys, but I would say that for all fairness, this is a combination of two things. Number one,
there's too much crap going on.
Number two, there are four events that were on the calendar that were moved, and so there's a various sundry of sites that have different dates, and I think that's what got us dinged. So that said, I will take the full blame for it, and I apologize, but it is actually this weekend, UFC in Japan. And with that, we will rewind the clock a little bit and talk about
Japan, where they love steroids.
They love
Segway.
They love the steroids. And speaking of loving the steroids, Vitor Belfort is in the news as of Tuesday night into today, which is Wednesday, talking about 3 years ago at UFC 152. He actually failed the test, and then there was a cover-up for said failed test. The fight went on as if there was no failed test. He obviously didn't get the belt from John Jones, and Josh Gross was the one who dug that all up on Tuesday, and now the world is... again, scrambling to figure out what in the actual hell is going on in this sport, because after last week, where we spent all of the time talking about Nick Diaz, we're now at this point where we're right back to where I told you we were going to be last week, which is the continued talk about steroids in the sport, where their place is, where the onus is on a company to tell the public what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
well, apparently they told everybody, because what led to this was they just decided to email test results to like the whole company and then say, hey, remember that? No, you don't.
And then that, of course, as every good email chain gets out, just ask Sony, got out to the public, and here we are. So you've got Vitor Belfort, who's been at the kind of, I would say, the center, Ken, of all of the TRT exemptions, being on steroids, being off steroids. Should he fight Chris Weidman? Who is Weidman going to fight? When, you know, Weidman was saying, like, you know, calling him Cheetor, but like all of the things that were happening.
Yeah, I remember that weigh-in. I went back and watched it after some of the news broke, and it's kind of crazy to watch that weigh-in now. And we all knew something was going on. I mean, because these guys all know. And I know you're referencing probably the Deadspin story.
Sure.
On this Belfort thing has been the most comprehensive thing that we've seen this past week. And in the Deadspin story, they couldn't get a lot of people to go on record. But what they got was a ton of people that said, yeah, that's happening. Yeah, we knew about that. Yeah, about that. Because, again, these managers have other fighters that they got to try to get in the UFC. A lot of these camps have multiple fighters, have guys at a certain gym. So let's say 20 gyms find out about Vitor Belfort. Nobody's really going to talk about it because, you know what? Those 20 gyms have 20 guys that they're trying to get into the UFC. And the UFC sends you an email and says, don't say anything about that email. Pretty much you're going to not say anything about that email because, you know, ultimately you've got like 4,000 guys when you do that type of extrapolation trying to get in the UFC, 400 guys trying to get in the UFC, and then all those guys. And then it just becomes an interesting thing where there's been a little bit of discussion this week. Like, how did this never come out? I think it's pretty simple to see how this never came out. The UFC, they swung their mighty power about and they said, hey, don't talk about this. And mostly until now, it's been kept under wraps.
Well, and then I would add in, you know, back when we started this show, we've talked to, I don't even know how many fighters in the UFC, fighters in Strikeforce, fighters in Elite XC, fighters mm-hmm. in Bellator. And inadvertently, if we get to the point where we have a relationship with one of these fighters, and I will not name names in the sake of, to your point, mm-hmm. getting in and or out the UFC, inadvertently, you'll get to talking off air about this issue. And it was, without fail, they would say 50 or 60%.
Easily. And I mean, even we've even been in interviews sometimes with some of these guys where you can tell they caught themselves.
Sure.
They start talking about it, or then they back out of it, or they've told us and then they don't say much more. They don't point fingers or name names. So it's kind of interesting to see here. I mean, you had, this was 152, right?
Yes.
So 151 was the canceled card.
Correct.
So you had UFC scrambling at best at this point, scrambling. And I remember, and you might not remember now, but I remember the heat that they took during that canceled card. John Jones was taking heat. UFC was taking heat for, and this was near the beginning of their multiple events a month and the fight pass and all of those things.
Well, because on top of the event, Ken, remember, mm-hmm. you had Chael Sonnen just stirring everything up.
Oh, yeah,
being
because
like,
I was
going to be there. You know, I was going to be there. I was going to be there.
He wanted the Jones fight. He eventually got it.
Sure.
I mean, Chael Sonnen was working 6 months ahead, as he always is. So you had an instance where then this main event was about to fall apart on the UFC. Now, a lot of people are going to argue, is the onus really on them? This wasn't something that necessarily had to be released to a commission. A lot of people are very upset, though, because in this case, and it's hard, too, because we're looking at a guy that's not sympathetic at all in John Jones at this point.
Correct.
If we had a more sympathetic figure, I think there would be more outrage about this. But we don't really have a sympathetic figure, but I really think you got to take your feelings for John Jones out of this. And a lot of people have, and they've made the succinct point. I just think it hasn't hit any type of tipping point because it's still John Jones. And he's still, like, the baddest guy on the planet, and he still beat Vitor Belfort. If this is any other fighter, you know, it becomes a safety issue. I got to fight a guy that's on steroids, even though he's not supposed to be. Or he's on a TRT exemption, and you're not telling me. I mean, there's a lot of that we're hearing about now. And in this instance, do you believe the other camp should have been notified about that test when UFC is trying to help another fighter? And I don't take away when UFC is trying to do this. Their part in this isn't to make sure that every fighter has been clean all their life. Their part in this is to try to get them to the fight. And in an instance where they're contracted to the company, get them to the fight clean. So we're going to run these tests and make sure you're going to test clean. At the point they get a positive test, I mean, is there some type of culpability there for them to have to let another fighter's camp know?
My gut reaction is going to say yes. For two reasons. One, the safety issue that you just alluded to. And two, this being hidden, however you want to say it's been hidden, but it's been hidden from public, let's say, for 3 years. I think, and we can get into this here in a second, but like, this is where you now make a sympathetic figure out of somebody who wasn't a sympathetic figure a week ago in Cyborg, who says, okay, she was on Instagram yesterday saying, okay, let me get this straight, right? So somebody in the UFC fails a steroid test prior to a championship fight, still gets said fight,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get a crack at it because I tested positive X amount of years ago and everybody knows about it, and says, you know, she goes on to say that I'm clean, give me the fight. And I know you're going to say make the weight, but above and beyond make the weight, this makes the UFC and the stance on all of this stuff really, really gray and hard to manage.
Well, this also, too, coming off of what was nearly unanimous consensus of people speaking out against what happened to Nick Diaz.
Sure.
That makes this even worse this week, because we've got a guy who was unfairly, by most accounts, punished for weed.
And I know I sent it to you. And dear, if you've not listened to Luke Thomas's podcast about this, please go do that, because it was, I know I sent it to you over the
weekend. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to listen yet.
It's fantastic. So do that. But yeah, I mean, you've got everybody paying attention to a thing that they don't pay attention to normally, which is the commission.
Right. The commissions and the drug use and comparing. I mean, we were doing it last week on the show before this. We were comparing what Nick Diaz does to dudes that use steroids. And dudes that use steroids, we pretty much all judged, are a lot worse dudes than a guy who does some weed before a fight. So we already laid the arguments out, and all of a sudden, boom, a guy got a championship fight in there. Let's not forget in that fight, Vitor's been about as close as catching Jon Jones as anybody. Yeah, I get it. He lost in the second round. But in that first round, I mean, he pulled John's arm out of socket. Remember, John said that he felt it move, and that's why he wanted to end the fight. Because he had that arm bar as stretched as anybody else. I think he was probably the closest to a submission on John as anybody.
Hands down. I mean,
So what happens? He goes in there, he beats Jon Jones for the world title, and he's not clean. And that happens later, and comes
out. And he's not clean
later.
For 3 years.
Well, because let me tell you something there.
I mean, what would that have looked like, Ken?
Wouldn't have looked like anything, because I tell you what, he goes in there, he wins that fight. This is coming out a lot quicker, because there's a lot of guys who held their tongue, worried about the UFC, that maybe wouldn't have held their tongue, at least to the point where they would have let it be known that he was cheating, and this would have gotten past rumors, and this document would have gotten out a lot earlier. I have no doubt in that, because I think at a certain point, a lot of guys have suspected dudes of cheating. I mean, Nick Diaz this week, he's still upset, obviously. He's saying the UFC's been covering up GSP for years. And I don't want to accuse GSP of anything.
But
it looks very strange when GSP retired. Now we know he was on the downslide. He was having more trouble finishing dudes at that point. But, wow, we're just in this world now. This is baseball in 97 again.
Sure. Well, and to, you know, to the GSP story, he's not the only one that's told that tale. That's been a story that's been swirling around George St. Pierre. And when George retired, mm-hmm. that was one of the things, is that he wanted stricter testing, but perhaps might have been caught up in that whole thing. And again, this is all supposition, but you open the can of worms when these sort of things with Vitor's test that hide for 3 years, then, okay, let's rewind the clock another 3 years. What was hidden then? You know, mm-hmm. who was on the juice at that point? Was it GSP? Was it Randy Couture? Was it Chuck Liddell? Was it Tito Ortiz? Who was and who wasn't?
Yeah. And it's one of those things now. Do I trust anybody at this point? I don't know. I mean, you know, Anderson Silva would have been that guy I would have thought was entirely above it. He never really had a steroid user's quote-unquote body type.
Sure.
And what's he do? He gets busted for testosterone levels, essentially. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know how mad I am about it, but I certainly think this is interesting. I think the UFC has got to get out of this business, and I know they're trying to take care of fighters, and they're trying to do things to make their fights happen. And in this case, they were trying to do it probably because they had just come off a canceled card. And what happens is, rather than falling into a regulatory type of relationship with these fighters, which is essentially what they should have once the fights are signed. And it is. It's a very gray area, because you want to have your fighters feel like they're a part of the company. Because I feel like in doing these tests and trying to get him ready for the commission's test, you opened up this Pandora's box here. Like, well, you have to tell the other fighters. But no, it's almost like a lawyer in that case. Yeah, but I'm his lawyer in this case. You know, there's some privilege there as somebody who's trying to get him clean, so to speak. So
sure.
He can get in this fight clean. It's very interesting to see what's going to happen in the future here, because I don't know. Maybe the UFC stopped doing this after that. Maybe they felt they were caught up in a quagmire to the point.
Do you think they needed to tell Jones camp?
I don't know. I don't know what these contracts look like.
I know,
gut
but
reaction,
what
like
your
you
gut,
said.
What does your gut say?
Gut reaction tells me I'd want to know if I was the other fighter. My gut reaction also says, hey, dude, if I'm doing these tests for you and you're trying to get me clean, those are confidential. That's my gut reaction when I do a drug test. It's confidential. I don't care that you're doing it and you have this other fighter involved. And that's why I say they were probably in the wrong spot in all of this. Because as Vitor Belfort, in this case, I'm very upset if this gets out. Because this was a very in-depth story from Deadspin. And I've read it twice and I'm still not quite sure of all the nuances. I mean, there's a lot of technical jargon in there.
Right.
The lab court test, what is that versus the testing that's done for the commissions? But my understanding of this, he was essentially testing so that they could make sure he would test clean for the commission, right?
Yes, but I guess to your point where you thought that they might have ended this at UFC 152, remember they did the same thing for Diaz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, with the weed.
Yes.
And that's where the whole thing
came up. That's where this whole thing came up.
Where he had that one out of the bad three tests. So maybe they just tried with weed? I don't know. I think they got to get out of that business, though, because, I mean, now we've got two good instances of where this should, I feel like this should be confidential. This should be confidential if that's what you're trying to do here. But then again, you're also playing regulator here. And if you're playing regulator, you've got to tell Jon Jones and his camp that this guy tested positive for steroids. There's a certain point here with this promotion, And, you know, I don't believe they're a monopoly. I don't believe they need to be broken up. I believe there's competition
out
there.
This weekend alone will tell you that they're not a monopoly.
Right. But I do believe that at a certain level, you've got to figure out what you're doing here. And their hands are almost tied in a way because they're going to run shows out of country that are out of commission. So they have to still do a lot of these things. I don't know if they create their own separate company that they use, but then everybody's going to look at that company side-eyed. But, I mean, wouldn't that be better if all of a sudden you just knew that the UFC had an independent commission of and drug testing agency of some sort? I don't know, because I guess you could say LabCorp was like that, too. I don't know what to do with the information here. But what it feels like to me, my gut, as you asked earlier, is that this needs to be confidential. And the UFC, because it needs to be confidential, doesn't need to be in this business.
I don't disagree with either one of those things. What does it do to Vitor?
That does nothing to Vitor at this point. He got all the fights he wanted to. I mean, that's what's really amazing about this. I mean, that's why Chris Weidman said he was going to stop him for good. I mean, and I don't know if he has or hasn't. I mean, we're going to see Vitor Belfort again because he never got the belt. So it was never too bad. It was never too, that's I'm serious.
I know, but this is a game of inches. You know,
it is a game of inches. But that's what I mean. If he would have crossed that inch, then it's terrible because he would have been the champ. That's what, you know, that's what's going to bust some of this open at some point. When a champ...
That's just such a
like
terrible
Anderson
way
Silva
to...
Like Anderson Silva tested after. So was Anderson Silva covered up for while he was champ? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I mean, that's such a terrible way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible way to do this, to be like, okay, well, it's not super bad because he didn't actually win.
Right. But that's exactly how this is playing out right now.
It's crazy.
It's playing out like this right now, which is crazy because, I mean, the dude's essentially had a championship fight anytime he's wanted one.
Yep, every time he's wanted one.
Right, I mean, he's that dude you can always count on to go in there. Anderson Silva, you know, he fights against him. He fights against John Jones. Gets Weidman after he loses to Anderson Silva.
Yep.
So, I mean, this guy's a championship-level dude, but he's never crossed that barrier while he was tested dirty. I mean, he was champion. Let's not forget that. I mean, it was a while ago.
And was he clean then?
I don't know. Was anybody clean then?
I don't know. I mean, this is where you're exactly right. It's baseball in the 90s where you're like, okay, well, hang on a second. Who is actually hitting the ball without the use of HGH? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
why is Sammy Sosa three times larger than he was 2 years ago? Why mm-hmm. are all those things happening? That is where we are. Other big news this weekend, we had Bellator Dynamite. And as we explained last week, that was kind of... a culmination of all of these sports that went together that don't really go together.
See,
and by that I mean there were glory fights mixed
yes.
in with a tournament, mixed
think,
in with
I
a
the,
with
I,
what Ken calls a feature fight, and that gave and then a big WWE-esque announcement, and then you had your event.
Right, and all I really remember is that Fedor is not really in Bellator.
Which was the best half announcement that you've ever gotten.
Right, yeah. So I did think it was funny because I saw Twitter go crazy. Fedor signed with Bellator. I'm like, you guys got to turn your sound on. Are
right.
you watching this in a bar at mute? Because that's not at all what happened.
No.
Fedor is going to be fighting
New Year's
for
Eve.
Sakaki Barra. I think I've got his name right.
Yes,
I might have that
from
wrong.
From Pride, of Pride fame.
Formerly of Pride. One of the guys that didn't end up dead.
But was still managed to run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Mostly because he wasn't dead.
Yes. So he's going to be fighting on a New Year's Eve card for whatever that promotion ends up being. Bellator is probably going to do talent exchange with that, and that will be a New Year's Eve card.
And I have not seen anything today, but based on Ken's Periscope back and forth with Randy, I'm betting it's Randy Couture.
Yeah, Randy wouldn't answer my Periscope questions. To be fair, he wasn't answering anybody's. Nobody can ever answer the questions when you're actually Periscoping. This is just silly. Like, I get social media. Okay, we're in. We're on. I got the Twitter. I do snaps. But, I mean, Periscope is ridiculous if you think that question feature is ever going to work ever for anybody.
And especially if you're somebody like that, and I know this isn't what we're doing here, but if you're somebody like that where the questions are blowing by at 100 a minute,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you can't answer all of them because you need somebody else
to read your
to
screen,
read
except
them.
You got to hold your phone or else it's not pointing at you.
Right. So, yeah. So
we Periscoped the show once and we got like 10 questions and we didn't answer any because we didn't see them.
Because we can't see
them.
We're
sorry.
So sorry about that, which is why we're not doing it now.
But don't ask us anything. We don't know when half the events are.
Right, because we can't even read a calendar.
To be fair, they put three on the same night. Now, what did you think of the show? I thought it was clunky.
I think overall it was clunky, and I forget who... it was Damon Martin or who wrote on Sunday morning, but it was like the opposite of the Oreo or the opposite of the Twix. Like the kickboxing is not a thing in the United States, mm-hmm. and it's never been a thing in the United States, so it just doesn't belong there because there aren't people, the MMA fans aren't watching kickboxing, which is why kickboxing isn't a thing.
Yeah,
right. And
I agree.
Like,
well,
and
was
like,
I may have read the same thing where somebody kind of pointed out this would be like putting a rugby game in the middle of an NFL game because they're sort of similar and they both have a ball. Like what?
Now, and this is not me slagging on Glory because I know that there are people that
or rugby,
but there are people that really, really like Glory. But those people really like Glory, and they're not like there aren't casual MMA fans who are like, what should I do tonight on a Friday night? Clickety, clickety, clickety.
Oh,
well,
look,
those are two guys in shorts that look like they're hitting people. I'm here for the night.
Channel 830.
Like, that's not how... And you felt that in the event, which was what made it clunky. There were some other interesting things that made it a little clunky that also, I thought, made it kind of a standout night for one person in particular, which is Phil Davis's first day on the job, where he becomes the light heavyweight champion.
Well, no, he becomes the tournament light heavyweight champion.
The tournament light heavyweight
champion.
He gets
a championship shot at Tito Ortiz, who
not
tried
Ortiz.
To... No, he talked his way back in at the end. I don't know what he was doing. Tito Ortiz was giving everybody belts, including himself.
So long story short, though, so Phil Davis enters this tournament, ends up winning the whole thing because King Mo gets injured. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Which is exactly why we don't do these.
Which is exactly why we don't do these. Although, you can't help but be like, that's a pretty dope-ass first day on the job. You're the tournament champion.
Oh, no, he had to beat two guys.
Right?
I mean, it was very WrestleMania 4-esque.
But I liked every second of it. And, you know, he beats Francis Camo, and he's the tournament champion, and now he gets a shot at whoever you're about to tell me that has the belt that isn't Liam McGarry. Who has the belt then?
No, it's McGarry. He's got the belt.
Okay,
but, right. I mean, Tito Ortiz never acts like he loses a fight.
Fair enough.
How many farewell goddamn Tito Ortiz speeches do we have to listen to? Time he fights, he comes and give a speech. Like, I get that some of the fighters in Bellator really hate this, but okay, Tito's going to draw the eyeballs.
Sure,
Ken's going to draw the eyeballs. Ken Shamrock, Kimbo's going to draw the eyeballs. But I've got to say, I do feel at a certain point for some of these dudes, because when these guys lose fights, you got to pay attention to the winner. That's why you hired Tito Ortiz. You hired him to lose. So when he loses, Liam McGarry looks great.
Sure he does.
Talk to Liam McGarry about being great.
He looked great.
He did look great. That was a sick move he pulled off. What was that, an upside-down reverse super-duper triangle?
Yep.
That was awesome. Like, all the superlatives. And he wins, and he's talking, and he's doing the post-fight. That guy beat Tito Ortiz. Oh, Tito Ortiz and his giant head come barreling in. Opponent.
Which I always think is weird for two reasons. One, to your point that we get 10... goodbye tours of Tito Ortiz on a yearly basis. Two, let's not forget that there are still some tentacles of Bellator from TNA. So to me, my default would be like, okay, Liam McGarry wins this thing in this very sick move, and you've got Phil Davis still in the building. Why don't they come together so we can start building yet another star fight that you're
and that would've...
Hey, remember the guy who won the tournament? He's fighting the guy who kicked Tito's ass.
Right.
Let's watch that.
Right. And they both walk out and they both have belts. But no, Tito's in there ganking it all. Like, Tito, you know how they don't allow your posse in the cage? They shouldn't allow Tito in the cage. Like, he loses, he's got to leave immediately.
Leave, yes.
They put that little bench where they have the doctor wave towels at you. They put that little thing outside the cage. That's where Tito goes, get to give any more speeches, dude.
But this is we said something similar when we had the Kimbo Ken fight. It's like Bellator takes three steps forward and two back. They did 800,000 people on Saturday night, which is a phenomenal number for them.
I think they wanted better, though, for this event because it is free, essentially.
Totally. But I think part of it comes from the fact that there is some atrophy. I mean, we apologized for it 20 minutes ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we thought three other events were happening because that's how many things are happening in September. There's some atrophy, and then there's a lot of lack of name recognition aside from Tito Ortiz, regardless of what level of fan you are. I don't mean people who do podcasts or blogs. I mean, if you're a fan, likely you have no idea who Liam McGarry is. You may know who Phil Davis is. You might have remembered Francis Carmo. You may be a fan of King Mo, but you're not a guy that's going to carve out time for any of those guys.
Yeah, and that's why this is where the production value really shows up. And I don't want to go too far down this wrestling road, but I mean, this is where the production value shows up in a place like WWE. And even sometimes the UFC loses a little control of it, but they can bring it back with their promos, and
sure,
they got eyeballs on 30 different platforms.
Right.
But yes, what Bellator did, they lost their big shot that night. That big shot that night was to say, this is the guy who beat Tito Ortiz. And a resurging Phil Davis has this belt. And they're going to meet for the undisputed light heavyweight championship
on,
of the world
on
Bellator.
This date, on this
maybe,
channel.
You know, maybe you don't even have a date.
But I mean, you know, to your WWE example, mm-hmm. they always have a date, right? Like, mm-hmm. you show up on Raw, these two guys are going to fight at Night of Champions. It's this night. It's at this time. You can get it on the, mm-hmm. the network or on pay-per-view or whatever. Clearances aside, right? Wherever still, mm-hmm. they're still cleared for pay-per-view. But yeah, they missed a huge, but I thought they missed a huge shot with the Kimbo Ken thing. It really feels to me like they take a whole bunch of steps forward and then they intentionally like trip over themselves. Like, you've got all these eyeballs. You've got this weird half pregnant Fedor announcement.
Yeah, that was
like,
weird.
You're in Japan, but you're not with Bellator, but you're sort of tied with Bellator.
It'll be on Spike.
It'll be on Spike. It'll be New Year's Eve, maybe, because it's in Japan. Like, is it New Year's Eve in Japan or New Year's
Which
Eve?
Which is really going to be insane because that's going to be running up against the college football national championship games.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, and it was Josh Barnett, who's obviously been doing a lot of press this week, not so much last week when he wasn't fighting. This week, when he's actually fighting, is doing a lot of press. And one of the things he said he's been saying in private is that he always sort of knew that this was what Fedor was going to do because of the business he can do in Japan. And you and I, being Pride fans, know exactly what he's talking about. But he had this very astute observation, which I think is interesting and I'd like to unpack for a second, which is he doesn't know whether or not... He doesn't think Fedor signed any long-term deal.
No.
He thinks it might be a one-off thing, and you may still see him.
I think the UFC is still in play.
I think you may still see him in the UFC, and I think that's a really interesting way to unpack this story, is that it's going to be our guess, going to be Randy Fedor, because everyone wants to see it. Eyeballs.
Will it, though? Because it's Japan, so you don't need
that. Well, what's it going to be? Sakuraba?
It could be anybody. I mean, it's Japan. And I'm not saying that disparagingly,
but
they
remember,
will all show up to see Fedor fight anybody. This is going to be very much, I'm going to do it again, WWE reference.
Sure.
Brock Lesnar filled an arena in Japan because he was Brock Lesnar. Do you know who he fought on the WWE network? By the way, which I woke up at like 8 in the morning for, July 4th in the U.S.
He fought, who did he fight? I don't actually remember.
Kofi Kingston. Which, if you pay attention,
awesome.
And Kofi Kingston wasn't even as big then as he is now, which he's great. He's part of this little team, and it's a lot of fun. Kofi Kingston wasn't going to beat Brock Lesnar. There was no chance. People came to see Brock Lesnar. People will come to see Fedor.
It doesn't even need to be another marquee name.
I don't even think it needs to be a name. No, and especially
not even for Spike.
No, because it's New Year's Eve. They're going to take what they can get.
Got it.
On New Year's Eve. And... This goes back, I don't know, two or three episodes back, we talked about this. I said whatever deal he does is going to have something wonky in it if it's not with the UFC, and that will be why it's done outside of the UFC. His best deal, I believe, is probably with the UFC. His best deal, though, if you want to bring in, you know, all the folks from, what was that promotion called? The one in Russia that they made Showtime buy so that Fedor would do some of the Strikeforce cards.
Yes.
I don't even remember the name.
I don't remember it either.
But it was the white mat with the red and black logo.
Wasn't that Affliction?
No, it was. But I'm not. I guarantee this is your promoter, essentially. This is going to be some of the money behind the Not Pride. And that's why this deal was probably done the way it was, is because... We're going to see 30 Russians and 30 Japanese fighters, which is fine. I'm going to love it. I'm going to tune in. But that's what this deal was done for. And like you said, Josh Barnett's probably right. This is probably a one-off deal. I'm going to fight here. And he's going to decide if he wants to fight again after that. I don't think this has to be a marquee fight. You've been looking, by the way.
I'm trying to find it, yeah.
While I'm talking. And you can't find it. I can't remember the name of that thing.
Doesn't matter. But yeah.
But like, it was 30 Russian fighters.
Yes.
And, it was okay to watch as an MMA fan, but I didn't feel like any of these champions were legit in this promotion.
Right. Well, and you know, I just think it's interesting that you don't think it needs to be a marquee fight, and I guess we'll wait to see that happening. The reason I brought it up, though, was I thought Josh's take that he could still be going to the UFC is something that you didn't really see a whole lot of people talking about. There was the Twitter eruption on Saturday, as you alluded to, with everyone going, he signed to Bellator, who didn't have their volume on, and... then there's been very little discussion, you know, as to what's going on. And maybe to your point, Ken, the fact that there isn't an opponent and it's Wednesday going on Thursday probably speaks a lot to the fact that you're probably 100% correct.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be Randy Couture, and I still think that's probably likeliest. I just don't think there's a need in Japan on Spike TV on New Year's Eve. I think Fedor's return is big enough for that level. And I may sound like I'm contradicting myself here, but because I said if the UFC signs him, they got to promote him. Well, the UFC does need to promote him because they need to get their money back and they need to figure out how to get eyes on this dude that only a certain subsect of MMA fans still remembers. Spike doesn't necessarily need that. We've seen them do it with Ken Shamrock and Kimbo. They could do it with Fedor. So they on a New Year's Eve simulcasting a card from Japan, I don't think their needs are very high. This is Viacom seeing what they can do with this. And that's why they're going to put it on the air on Spike, because you know what? We're going to run the video game awards rerun if we don't have this. And right, that's what that's the way they're looking at this thing.
So we'll see that on New Year's Eve. And if we get an opponent named, and I still think as we're talking this out loud, I'm wondering if that's why we don't have one, because maybe they are just hedging their bets that
it's going to be Pride-esque. It's going to be some dude the week of. We're going to find out who he's fighting. That's exactly what it is.
All right, we will we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll re-break down the card this weekend that we failed to break down.
Did it last week.
We actually did it last week, but it wasn't last week.
Go rewind it.
We're still going to do it. It's next on Way of the Warrior. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, who has the name of the thing that has escaped us.
Oh, the Fedor's MMA promotion?
Yes.
M1 Global.
M1 Global is the name.
You don't remember all the M1 Global world champions that were crowned on Showtime at like 12:43 a.m. Eastern time on a random fall day?
Yes. So
this is like M1 Reborn.
Yes.
With Pride, with Fedor. Japan.
It's a dream come true for MMA fans everywhere. All right. So we speaking of Japan, we are going there this weekend. Josh Barnett taking on Roy Nelson.
We're not going.
Gegard Mousasi, because we would have been there last weekend. Gegard Mousasi versus Uriah Hall. Horiguchi and Chico Kamu. Mizugaki and George Roop. You've got Kid Yamamoto and Matt Hobar. And then Hirota versus Terutu Ishihara. That will kick off your main card on Fox Sports 1. There will be one fight on Fight Pass, and then there'll be four fights on Fox Sports.
So we're going pass to 2-1.
Pass to 2-1.
That's at least it's better. It doesn't feel like you're just like sitting there all day, like when you stumble into it at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like if you stumble into UFC on Fox Sports 1 at 8 o'clock, you're like, oh, cool, UFC's on. And then you remember it's like 10 o'clock that it's actually starting.
Yeah. Well, and this is the actual card is starting at 10 o'clock, too. There you go.
Why? Why? The time difference in Japan, that means it's 10 in the morning.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Maybe they didn't want to do it at 8 in the morning. I guess I could see some. I don't know. I don't even know when you do these anymore. I've said my piece. I've actually said it on these fights, too. So.
You have said it on these fights. As you got Josh Barnett and Roy Nelson, as we talked about last week.
I'll take the other side this week.
You're going to take Roy Nelson this week?
Did I take Barnett last week?
You did.
Roy Nelson all the way. Can't count him out.
I love this show is so much better if we break down fights.
So that way I can pick the replay I want to replay later.
Yes, absolutely.
Later after the fight.
As we said last week, Josh Barnett is one of those guys. He's not as busy as some of the other heavyweights, but somebody who's always in there. A win over Roy Nelson puts him, I think, in contention to be discussed about.
One thing somebody did mention when they mentioned the show wasn't last week was the loss to Travis Brown, and then obviously how Travis Brown has looked recently.
Sure.
Does that knock him down? Does he get Travis Brown again before he gets a championship fight if he wins this one?
I don't know. I think Roy Nelson is to me is just as good of a gatekeeper. Now seeing what Travis Brown is doing is just as good of a gatekeeper as Travis Brown is.
I'm not even calling it gatekeeper. I'm just saying that there's going to be sentiment there.
There might be sentiment.
Oh, you've lost against Travis Brown. Travis lost against Arlovski. Arlovski didn't look very good. This is the MMA math.
MMA math, son. And I understand that, but I guess I don't know. I'm not the type of person, I'll say, I'm not the type of fan that feels you need to exact every revenge in order to move forward.
See, I love that. I think you should.
Every single one of them.
Oh, yeah. It's like the boss battles in a video game. Like sometimes, you know how some video games, I remember this back in the 90s. I forget which game, but sometimes you could
still
get.
Which is the last time you played a video game, probably.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, some of us grow up.
Some of us don't.
Some of us talk to our Xboxes at night.
If you want to play Destiny this weekend, I'll be on all week.
The voice recognition feature. It knows my name. But I remember every once in a while you'd get a game and you'd be able to pass through a level and you'd lose to a boss, but you'd still like go on. But then that boss would come back stronger later. I feel like that's how the UFC should treat these fights. Like, you've got to still beat Travis Brown. You cannot go to the next castle or whatever you're going to do.
Now, when you frame it like that, I'm okay with the Mario Brothers boss battles. So perhaps maybe Josh and Travis Brown need to go at it, but I think Travis Brown still needs to be cleared 100% to be even considered. And if he doesn't get cleared 100%, mm-hmm. this is a moot point. I'm still thinking Barnett is going to take this one. Roy Nelson is a guy who's a game fighter, likes to throw heavy bombs, and obviously is great on the ground, which is what makes this fight so exciting, because both of those guys have skill sets that are very similar, which can tend to make a boring fight unless you're talking about these two guys.
Well, I mean, you know, Roy Nelson's not going to get to play patty cake on the ground with this guy, which I think makes it very interesting. Because, I mean, that's one of Roy Nelson's strong suits, and I don't blame him. I mean, part of your game is always part of your game. He's able to get a guy down. The guy can't really do a lot, and he can land some shots to win a fight. He's going to have to land some shots to end a fight if he's going to want to beat Josh Barnett on the ground, because as good as Roy is, Josh, you know, is maybe one of the best pure wrestlers still fighting today at this point. I mean, if you really want to look at what's going on, especially in the heavyweights, I think it's far and away, if you're going to say heavyweights, as far as wrestlers go.
Yes, and as I said last week, you know, he's one of those guys that, from a catch wrestling perspective, it's an art form that you don't see very often. I know I alluded to Ronda Rousey last week, being, you know, the other one that kind of does that stuff. But one of the best pure wrestlers, hands down. Co-main event, Gegard Mousasi, Uriah Hall. I think Mousasi takes this one easily. Uriah Hall has been looking better and better. And if he gets past Gegard, I think that's a huge, huge jump for him. But I don't know that he's the guy that's going to make that huge jump.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, this will be a telling fight. This is the most telling fight on the card, too. I think even more so than the heavyweight fight, so that should be fun. And but that's kind of where the intrigue ends, isn't it, with this fight card?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing is Kid Yamamoto, as I'm reading right now, and Matt Hobar, that fight has been scrapped from this weekend because yesterday both fighters sustained injuries in training. So
what are they doing?
I don't know.
Stop it, Japanese fighters.
I don't have any idea. But
stop it.
They both hurt themselves, so they can't fight.
So we get to slide that Horiguchi Chico Camus fight up.
No, that's already in the third spot. So Mizugaki, George Roop, and you'll have the Hirota and Ishihara will be your main card at this point.
What about Katsunori Kikuno?
I mean, I guess you could move that up with Diego Brandão.
I'm just checking.
I mean, that'll be a fun fight.
Keita Nakamura? I just like these names.
I know. You're a big fan of the...
I just like the names.
Since you've traveled there all
the time. I mean, Yusuke Kasuya is still on the card, too. I mean, if you want to slide him up. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page, though. I will work on that today.
I don't know that they're going to just slide people up. I don't know that you need to slide people up, because once again, we're looking at this card, and...
Shinzo Azai is on the card. I think he defeated Captain Picard once. So, I mean, that's going to be a very, very tough fight for Roger Zapata.
Fair enough. Okay.
You made me do this twice.
I did.
You made me run this card down twice. What did you expect, Eric?
No, but what I will say to you, though, is, you know, one of your biggest complaints, and this is very similar to the night we had Ronda Rousey on pay-per-view with seven fights. There are six. Thankfully, the Hobar Yamamoto got scrapped, because there were six fights on that main card that starts at 10.
There's still six. Apparently, they have moved up Hirota.
Oh, did they?
Yes. So Hirota is up on the main card now.
Gotcha. Six fights is just crazy.
See, and this is going to happen. This is going to be DVR'd. This is going to be DVR'd. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that. And that's not what they want, because I'm going to blow through their ads.
Yeah, well.
Don't they want me to watch their ads?
I think they want you to engage one way, shape, or form. And I just think there really is.
This is why the Harley-Davidson prep point is still the most valuable piece of real estate in marketing right now. Because I can't fast forward through the Harley-Davidson prep point.
For this sport, for sure.
Oh, man.
But I just think that you've said it 1,000 times. There is absolutely zero losing if you move that
to 8 o'clock
to 8 or 9 o'clock.
No, none. And I'm wondering, we're starting to get into the part where college football could play a part, because obviously FS1 is going to be showing college football that day. But man, use that as your lead in. I mean, I don't know, man. These cards being this late, and there's absolutely no incentive for you or I to watch that card that late, because we are up early on Sundays. And again, if you're going to sleep in, well, hell, if you're willing to watch this first thing, you don't have to worry about social media. You don't have to worry about spoilers. And I think you and I have probably done that a couple different times.
Sure.
You know, I'll have my family wake up. I'll just be up watching it, and I'm watching it, and I knock it down in whatever time it takes. And I start at the main event and go down, too. That's the other thing about these cards. I get to watch them how I would actually watch them if I got to put them on.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, spoilers. There's two fights on this card. I would care about spoilers, and if they both go the distance, I'll be done with this card within an hour on Sunday morning. So if that's cool, UFC, that's where we are.
Well, and this is where you get into this interesting conversation that I've been having, you know, when you talk about cord cutting, right? Is because the live sports is the hook that most people are hanging on to. And as this becomes more and more inconvenient to be a fan of this sport because there's 58, then there's 64, then there's 72 events a year, the ability to not watch it in real time or the ability that you don't watch it in real time is going to be hurtful to them in some way, shape, or form. Now, they're in Japan. They're trying to fill a stadium. So, you know, the live gate is the live gate. But you're on TV for a reason. And that reason, as you alluded to a second ago, is for eyeballs on ads.
You know what I used to love when they did this on Spike? I loved when they would run them live and then run them again later. And I think I've said that on the show. Mm-hmm. So you had your options there. So if you put this thing on in Japan and you want to put it on at 8 o'clock at night in Japan, that's 8 a.m. for us. It's 12 to 13 hours, I believe. And then there's the day jump in there. So if you want to put this on at 8 o'clock in Japan, you could put it on at 8 in the morning. You could put it on at 3 in the afternoon again. You could put it on at 8 o'clock that night. Tell me you wouldn't want this on at 3 in the afternoon. College football aside, you're actually probably already watching. So unless it's your team, you've got everybody else. That's going to watch MMA at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. I've already got my excuses. I'm already watching TV.
Well, and I'm the college football is not the thing for me. I like the NFL. I don't really have a dog in the college football fight, having gone to a school that really doesn't have that sort of a thing. So I would be totally down with that because it'd be something that I would actually want to watch. Not that I don't mind college football, but it's just on. You know, I'm not rooting for one team or the other. I'm just watching football.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know what you do with these cards. The time difference in Japan is going to be kind of strange. Because is this live? Because this is live at 10 o'clock. It's essentially a 10-hour difference. So that means they're going to be this has got to be taped delayed or something. Are they really going to? Because if this starts at 6 in the afternoon here, it's essentially 6 in the morning in Japan.
Well, let me quadruple check it here.
Because, yeah, you're 12 to 13 hours depending on daylight
savings
time.
I mean, I can say with 100% certainty it's on Saturday in the United States. It's on Sunday in Japan. Where that time is, I'll tell you here in a second.
Well, it's 12 to 13 hours usually.
Right, I know, but I don't know where the start time is, so calm down.
Okay. Eric's Googling.
Dear Google.
This is why you download this podcast.
Yes, to listen to me.
To listen to Eric Google.
To listen to me Google things.
UFC Japan start time. What's going on? Your Mac can't keep up with Google?
It's a little slow today.
A little slow? All right. Just take your time over there.
It's okay.
No, I'm trying to find this too. It's just... It'll be interesting to see if this is live or not. Yeah, they don't have a time. They've got the time here.
You're right. Sorry. 1 o'clock Eastern. Fox Sports 1 is when the main card starts.
Really?
Yes.
They're going to show it on Fox Sports 1 live.
Yep.
But if you go to the UFC site, because we can do dual Googling.
Sorry. No. 10 p.m. Eastern. Sorry. I'm reading it wrong. Fox Sports 1, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. We'll have to figure out what time this thing starts in Japan.
And it says live, so.
Yeah, that one dude stopped updating his UFC calendar. Even he gave up.
It's becoming crazy.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I buy tickets. What time shows up? I'm not actually looking to buy tickets.
Okay, fair enough.
So let's move along.
You know, other news this week: John Jones looking for a plea deal. We're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with him.
They think because of the way it was filed, it's going to be a straight up probation because he wouldn't have probably taken anything else as a plea deal. So he's going to get to, like, run into a pregnant woman, break her arm, and not have as serious a consequence
as nothing.
Like he has.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, he'll be... where are we now? When did he fight? March?
Yes.
So, I mean, we're going to be retroactive. He can basically do a camp now. He can take a month off and do a camp and do a suspension if it ends up being a year. Because he hasn't been in front of the commission yet because they wanted to let the legal part play out.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think that Kangaroo Court's going to do to him? Nothing?
I don't know. It depends. Do they have any jurisdiction on this if he doesn't try to license it? See, that's the other thing. If he doesn't try to license into Vegas to start, he doesn't have to do anything with the NSAC.
But they're going to want him there. Where else are they going to put him?
I don't know. Maybe they'll put him in that Henry Cejudo card, wherever that is, because he won't fight in Vegas.
Because he won't fight there. When I know Cormier's been talking this week about, like, he needs that win to kind of finish up that story.
What do you mean? Where would they? They could put that anywhere. They can put John Jones anywhere.
No, they can put him anywhere, but wouldn't you want to put him in Vegas?
Maybe.
Just like you would want to put Ronda in Vegas?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're very happy with Vegas right now. So maybe you put these fights as anywhere else you can. They make a ton of money in other places.
Do you think he comes back at UFC 200? Are they going to wait that long?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that's July, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to get the probation, and depending on how he wants the license, it's going to kind of be up to the UFC. I mean, it's their suspension at this point. Remember, this is one of the rare non-commissioned suspensions. This is a UFC suspension. So are they going to call it good at 12 months? I don't know. But I think Chael Sonnen said it on ESPN. This is just stupid if they just let him come back when he's done with this and fight. Then there's no teeth to your suspension. All you did was basically let him take care of his legal problems and have the time off. So if he gets to come back and fight for the title, why'd you have the stupid interim title?
Well, and it's not an interim title. They stripped him. So it's the...
That's right. I forget. But doesn't it feel like one now? Now that we're talking about John Jones again, and again, we'll get closer to the fight, and I'll tell you he's not going to be in the shape he was in the past, because he won't be. But now that we're talking about John Jones in again, all of a sudden I forget that fight was for an actual belt.
An actual belt.
Because the guy lost. Again, over and over again, I told you that Cormier winning the fight was going to be the worst thing for the belt, because nobody was going to consider that a real belt, and now I just forgot.
I just forgot it was the real belt. Like I alluded to, even Cormier is like, yeah, I need to take that fight to kind of make this whole thing whole, I should say.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think they definitely don't need that to be in Vegas. What they would put that in Vegas for is because the Kangaroo Court, they could know exactly what's going on, and John Jones could be contrite. And like, you didn't break both her arms, did you, John? No, I did not, Mrs. Commissioner. Okay. See, he didn't break both her arms. Remember, the Kangaroo Court, it works both ways. And it has
yes.
in the past.
Yes, it has.
Up until Nick Diaz, we always joked about how stupid it was the other way. Or when Floyd Mayweather would go in there, who makes them $1 billion. It's like, how many women? You didn't hit like a dozen women, did you? Like, not a dozen? Oh, it wasn't a dozen? See, it wasn't a dozen,
guys. It
wasn't
that bad, guys. Calm it down.
It's like one Instagram post.
So we'll keep you up.
So maybe he goes right to Vegas because once he's licensed there, he doesn't have to deal with anybody else because somebody else might be more strict. I don't know how New Jersey would think about this. I don't know what California would think about this. I don't know. Illinois would be another place. Chicago, maybe. I don't know what they would think about this. So maybe Vegas is the place he goes back to, because as idiotic as it is, you can probably figure out before you walk in there what's going to happen. So maybe you take the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
And we'll keep you posted on that as that rolls out. UFC in Japan for Fight Night 75, Barnett and Nelson. All of the results on Twitter. Just search WOW Show or Way the Warrior on Facebook. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk soon. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.